welcome to my new podcast. It's called The SWATcast. I'm your host, Simon Ward. And each week I'm going to be talking to coaches and athletes and experts to bring you inside information on how to get the most from your training, but also how to maximize your enjoyment of the triathlon lifestyle. Now, today I'm joined by an old friend of mine, an Englishman who's moved across to Australia. You may detect a little Australian accent in there, but hopefully you'll still sound like a Brit. His name is Paul Newsome from swimsmooth.com. Welcome, Paul.
Thanks, Simon. Great intro.
I've been practicing that one. It's scripted. Yeah, you. I gave an introduction to your business there, Paul. So if people want to find you, and I'll announce this again at the end, they can get hold of you through swimsmooth.com. It's spelled just like it sounds, swimsmooth.com. Just go onto the contacts button there and look for Paul Newsome. Paul is the founder of Swim Smooth, and we love Swim Smooth because it embodies all of the principles that Jack and I and everybody at TTC use when we're coaching our own athletes. So Paul is a world leader. He's taken everything about swimming. He's put it into a fantastic package. And if you've not been exposed to the Swim Smooth principles of training, I thoroughly recommend you go right over there after this call and have a look at them. But that's not why we're here today, Paul. We've got 15 minutes and I want to talk with you about something very specific. And that is what's known as CSS. So I'm going to shut up now and I'm going to let you explain in a little bit what is CSS and why is it important for our triathletes.
No worries, Simon. Thanks very much. So CSS stands for critical swim speed. And for those of you of Simon's athletes who may be using power meters on the bike or Garmin's on the run, critical swim speed is basically the equivalent of something like functional threshold power. So FTP on the bike or functional threshold pace, I guess, on the run. It allows you to identify where your threshold pace is. And then obviously over time, you can work to actually try to improve that. Now, the easiest way to work out a threshold pace, when we talk about threshold pace in swimming, we're often referring to something like 1500 meters. So the pace that you can sustain for 1500 meters, the easiest way to work that out is to do a 1500 meter time trial. But let's face it, not everybody likes to do a 1500 meter time trial, do they, Simon, every 4 to 6 weeks? Back in 2006, I bought myself a power meter for the first time on the bike, and I was really excited about what it offered me as an athlete in terms of analysis and feedback on my training. And I read the book by Hunter Allen and Andy Coggan, and was lucky enough to spend a bit of time with them over there in the US, looking for similar ways in which swimming can be analysed on the same lines as FTP on the bike, etc. So I got into my little research, and back in the early 90s, a method had been proposed to calculate your critical swim speed without doing a 1500 meter time trial, and I thought, wow, that's fantastic. It also meant that you didn't have to do a lactate test in the pool, which is very costly, very invasive. And for an average squad coach like myself, trying to do that with several hundred swimmers can get very, very laborious as well. So rather than doing a 7x200 meters lactate analysis test, what we would do now is we'd do a 400 meter time trial, followed by a 200 meter time trial. You get around about sort of 8 or 10 minutes rest between those two time trials. And what happens basically is once you input that information into the CSS calculator, which is actually very, very simple, what the analysis does is it looks at the rate of drop off in speed between your 200 meter pace and your 400 meter pace, and then predicts that this would continue over a longer distance. It sounds a little bit complicated, I guess, but really just popping those two things into our calculator at swimsmooth.com/training, you'll find it's very, very simple to just work out what that number is. Let's say, for example, your CSS pace works out at 1 minute 40 per 100 meters. 1 minute 40 per 100 works out at 25 seconds per 25 meters. And we utilize a little thing called a Finis Tempo Trainer, which you can set to whatever number you want, basically. So let's take the 140 per 100 as an example. If you set 25 seconds per 25 meters, you could set the beeper to beep at you every 25 seconds. and make sure that every time you get to the 25 meter marker, you're turning at exactly that point. It sort of replicates, I guess, what a power meter would do for you, giving you that information and feedback as you're going along. But it gives you like that audible feedback about how well you're keeping to your pace. Now, the nice thing about these tempo trainers is that they're actually programmable to 1/100th of a second accuracy. So the cool thing about this is, let's say you did your CSS test, it turned out to 140 per 100. The question is now, what are you going to do with that information? Well, on a week-to-week basis, I'd highly recommend doing one session which is solely focused on improving your CSS pace. You might do another session which is focused on purely on technique and working on improving your efficiency, and maybe a session in the open water to work on improving your open water skills. But if you can devote one session per week to improving your CSS pace, that's really going to help you with your improvement over time. And utilizing the little tempo trainer, what you can then do is each week just make your threshold pace just a fraction faster. So if you reduced your 25 meter time, let's say by 0.1 of a second, that's hardly, it's an imperceivable improvement on a week to week basis. But of course, added up over 8 to 12 weeks or so, that improvement can really make some differences to the speed that you'll be able to sustain over your next 1500 meter Olympic distance race. So it's a great little tool, and that combined with the CSS training is a great way to improve your swimming. We've got some great examples of CSS training sessions that you can do. One of my favorites is what we call the Goldilocks set. It's a nice little set, this one. I'll give you the information that my top lane might do. So my top lane
Before we do that, Paul, can I stop you, just ask you some questions, and then we'll do the sessions at the end?
Yeah, not a problem at all, Simon.
So, and well done there as well. You spoke without repetition, hesitation, or deviation for over 7 minutes. You would have won just a minute there. Without fail, that was amazing. So clearly you've done that a lot, and so we use CSS a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like you find that it's a good benchmark for people. It's a good anchor point. I like what you're saying there about the fact that they should be using this at least once a week. One of the things I find with a lot of age group swimmers is they don't really have much structure into their sessions, and when they do have structure, if they're swimming hard, they're just going to go full tilt, and probably they're going to fade over the set because they've gone as fast as they can for the first one, and then as fast as they can is still slower at the end because they've just run out of energy.
Totally.
So I like to stress with my athletes, they always have their CSS score in mind, and if they're going to go full tilt, then they're trying to be 3 or 4 seconds faster than that CSS pace. And if they're doing endurance stuff, they like to be 3 or 4 or 5 seconds per 100 meters slower than that CSS pace. So the CSS always provides the basis for which other paces within the session are set. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And one of the nice things about using these little tempo trainers to assist with pacing out the CSS pace is that if you do set it per 25, you can easily pick up whether or not you've gone off full tilt and you're going to blow up, because it obviously encourages you. Like maybe, you know, Simon, if you've given one of your athletes a power target of 220 watts to hold for 20 minutes, they know if they're going to blow up if they set off at 280. The problem with swimming is you don't normally get that feedback until you've finished the actual interval, which might be 400 meters down the line. And by that point, you know, the session, you could possibly have put yourself in the red too much, and the whole session is gone. So by having that regular feedback every 25 meters, the tempo train is fantastic. Yeah.
What about another really big gripe of mine is that when people are swimming open water, I'll ask them at our club, what are you doing today? Oh, I'm practicing for my next open water race or my next triathlon. But the only comparison with their next race is that they're getting wet and they're wearing wetsuits. they swim around the course that we've got marked out, which is hugely accurate. The buoys get moved by the sailors. So it's around 450 metres, but nobody knows whether it's 400 or 420 or 450. Yeah. I like them to have sessions that are structured. So, you know, you do one lap warm-up and then you do repeated laps holding the same time. But is there any way that you can use these, apart from the stroke count, is there any way you can use these tempo trainers in open water? Or do you have to have some sort of accurate meterage guide?
Absolutely. There is one way. And what I tend to do is I couple my tempo trainer with a Garmin. I actually use the Garmin 310 XT, which is one of the older ones from a couple of years back. It's orange and grey. I'll stick that underneath my swimming cap on the top of my head so it gets a good, accurate reading. And I might, for example, if I'm doing some long training for some of my marathon swims, I might set it to beep every 500 meters. And I might like to hold a pace of, let's say, 12 minutes 30 or 13 minutes per kilometer. So let's say if I'm trying to swim at 13 minutes per kilometer for a 10K swim, what I'll do is I'll actually plug into the tempo trainer a repetitive timing cycle of 6 minutes and 30 seconds, plug the Garmin at 500 meters, press go at the same time, and I swim around my little loop, and every time the Garmin buzzes at 500 meters, I want to make sure the tempo trainer is going at 6 minutes 30 as well. So yeah. It sounds a little bit anal doing it like that, but it's actually really quite good fun. And like you say, Simon, my gripe is exactly the same as yours about athletes not necessarily having too much structure when they go out there. I spent an entire summer back when I was living in the UK as a junior in 96, purely swimming in the open water, thinking, oh, aren't I great? I'm doing all this specific training. But I wasn't actually doing anything other than getting in and swimming for about half an hour. And I had no idea about how I was improving or, as it turned out, not improving at all, and just actually going backwards a little bit. So, yeah, having that structure is really important. And the Garmin combined with tempo training is good.
Okay, I just got this image of all sorts of things sticking out of your...
Yes, that's right.
and all sorts of bleeps going off at the same time.
Exactly. It can be a bit full bore for the average person who just wants to get out there and enjoy the open water, and I'm all for that as well. But if you're serious about improving, as I'm sure your athletes are, Simon, then it is, it's a really good way to actually start to gauge it and obviously be able to provide you, Simon, with the feedback about how they're doing as well.
So... going back there,
yep,
to CSS and swimming open water, and the fact that you said, although you felt like you were doing lots of training, you were actually getting slower as a swimmer.
Yep.
Do you have any data that shows that when people go to swim in open water rather than a structured pool set, that their actual conditioning goes backwards?
Well, it's an interesting one, actually, because I've made all the mistakes in the book, and one of the other mistakes I made was spending a whole season as about a 16-year-old training up for a 1,500-meter pool swim, utilizing only the pool boy all the time. So I do pool boy and paddles the entire session, and I know that's quite popular with some of the elite athletes out there these days, but what I found was I actually became super deep on it. Only some, yeah. I became super deconditioned because obviously utilizing the pool boy all the time, you're not kicking at all and you're utilizing it to give you that buoyancy. In a likewise, the wetsuit would also do that same thing. So you're sort of telling yourself, okay, I'm being super specific here. I'm getting my bum and legs high in the water. It feels good to wear the wetsuit, blah, 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 blah. But you've got to be careful about that deconditioning as well, like you say, Simon. And I still think there's, as specific as open water swimming is for triathlon, I still think there's very much the room for getting in the pool, doing some of these CSS sets, and obviously refining your technique in the pool there as well.
Okay, so yeah, I know that we can direct the swimmers to, when you've got your book out, haven't you? You've got the Swim Smooth book.
Yes, that's correct.
Which I'll tell everybody about later.
Yeah,
and they can buy that. They can buy that from your site anyway, can't they?
They can. That's correct. Yeah.
And there's lots of information there about warm ups and build sets and main sets. So you were going to just tell us. So we've got 1 minute left, Ryan. So tell us about why the Goldilocks set is your favourite.
Okay, Goldilocks
and
set.
Why it's called Goldilocks.
Okay, Goldilocks set is great because it really teaches somebody how to dial into their CSS pace. So it's basically 4 times 100, and then 200 meters, and that's our baby bear. 4 100s and a 300, that's our mama bear, and then 4 100s and then a 400 meters at the end, and that's our papa bear. So the idea being that swimmers can usually sit at CSS pace for 100 meters, no worries whatsoever, taking about 15 seconds rest between each one, and it actually feels deceptively easy at that point. But by the time you get to that great big bear at the end, the 400 meters, you'll be surprised how many people drop off that pace, especially if they've gone a little bit too gung-ho at the start, thinking, oh, this is easy, Simon set my tempo wrong, and blah, 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 blah. By the time they get to the 400 meters, you'll be surprised just how hard that little exercise is. So that's what we call the Goldilocks set. It's one of my absolute favorites. And if you want to check out some of the other sets, if you go to app www.swimsmooth.com. You'll find a whole host of over 300 different training sessions in there, which will help you to tune it up.
Okay, Paul Newsome. Listen, that's been absolutely fabulous, and I bet after you finish that Goldilocks set, you really will need your porridge, won't you?
Absolutely, you'll certainly need that porridge and a bit of honey as well.
Couldn't leave without getting that one in. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was Paul Newsome from swimsmooth.com. Check him out there. Check out the app. They've got app.swimsmooth.com. Get hold of the book with all of this information. And Paul has got so much to tell us that maybe we'll invite him back for another interview further down the line. But today, Paul Newsome and all the listeners, thanks very much and goodbye.